Now, if you will, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. And I'll be reading verses 12 through 17. We'll be looking specifically at verses 15 through 17 this morning. But I'll begin with verse 12. And as I'm sure you're all aware, Romans chapter 8 begins Paul's Mount Everest assurance of our salvation. And I want us to specifically see how our adoption by God fits into that context. And so, with that in mind, let me begin reading at verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Our Father, we ask, Lord, that You would once again bless the preaching of Your Word. We ask, Father, that these words that we have read and these words that we will now hear will be words that the Holy Spirit of God uses to pierce our hearts, to cause us in humbleness to confess our sin, and Lord God, hand us Christ. Thank You for meeting with us, and more than that, for promising to care for us and to give us those things that we need to grow in our love for You, one another, and to grow in holiness. And so we look to You, for You alone can do these things, and none other. And so may Your word be a word where it becomes Your voice, and may us, Your children, be happy and glad to hear it, and to respond with Your help. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Les Miserables, a book by Victor Hugo, in a setting in France in the early 1800s, Cosette is a child born from an immoral relationship. And in order to protect her, Cosette is placed in what her mother thought was a safe place, but it was actually a very harmful place for the little girl. Through a series of events, including the death of Cosette's mother, Jean Valjean rescues Cosette out of her danger and misery and raises her as his own daughter. Some years later, Cosette meets a young man named Marius. And when she tells Marius a little bit about herself, she says something very significant about her father. She says about him, "I grew up in my father's love. His love was my home. I grew up in my father's love. His love was my home." Beautiful words from a daughter about her father who had lifted her out of such a deplorable and dangerous and desperate situation and raised her in the security and blessing of his love. Now, not all children are equally appreciative, to be sure. But for those of you with children under your care now, those children should at least have a chance later on to say, I grew up in my father's love. His love was my home. Raising children is not an easy task, though, is it? And not everything goes as planned. It certainly didn't for Laurie and me. If your children are grown and have begun their own lives, no matter what your previous experience was with them in earlier days, you can still reach out to them with unexpected love. You can also encourage families who are in your church, who are doing the hard work of raising children. And I've also been impressed, particularly with one man in our church, a single Christian young man who has been used by God greatly to encourage young parents. Well, what the Apostle Paul is doing for us in our passage this morning is he is telling us about the blessings that are ours by virtue of our adoption into God's family. Although in our earthly experience as fathers, we have fallen short, and we do fall short in many ways, it is certainly the desire of every father here, isn't it, that his children live in the security and protection and blessing of his love. And if that's true for you fathers here, then we do not have to doubt for one minute that our Heavenly Father desires that we not only know his love, but enjoy the security and blessing of his love. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I should be able to say, I am growing up in my Father's love. His love is my home. And on our deathbeds, should the Lord tarry, we should all be able to say at the end of our lives here on earth, I grew up in my Father's love. His love was my home. 4 points this morning. Our place as adopted sons. Our comfort as adopted sons. Our assurance as adopted sons. And our privilege as adopted sons. In the original, the word adoption means to be placed as a son. Our place as sons comes exclusively from the word adoption and what it means in verse 15. It means to be placed as a son. Therefore, I'm sure all of you know that adopted children are just as much the children in the family as those born naturally. Typically, the process of adoption takes a significant amount of time and a significant amount of money. I say typically because there's always exceptions, as you know. Sometimes children are received with very little notice and at very little cost. Years ago, a little girl was left on the doorstep of a family in our rural community in southeast Missouri, very near where we live, and my wife's great aunt and uncle took the little girl in as their own. Most adoptions, though, take a lot of time and money. One of our elders and his wife are in the process of adopting their second child through the foster care system. The child has lived in their home with them now for 2 years, and it's cost a significant amount of money in attorney fees, as it has turned out. And we believe that things will probably get wrapped up around October 3rd. But you're being placed as a son of by God into his own eternal family goes all the way back to eternity past. Never was there a time when your heavenly adoption was not in his mind. in eternity past, God determined to lift you out of your desperate, sinful, unsafe situation and to place you as a son in His family at the infinite cost of His own Son. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, "In love, God predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved." That phrase in Ephesians 1:5, "He has blessed us in the Beloved," is in the singular, because He has blessed us in Christ, God's Beloved. Therefore, our place as sons is made possible because God has blessed us in His Beloved Son, and this is received through faith alone. Dying on the cross in our place, Jesus paid the infinite cost to ransom us out of our desperate sinful bondage and out of the clutches of our former father, who has been a liar from the beginning, in order that we might be placed as the sons of the living God. It's a real place. Yes, it's a spiritual reality, but it's just as real as you and I are here today. It's a glorious place to be the adopted children of God. It's a place for both us and our covenant children. It's a place for Christian pilgrims who are called by God to suffer. It's a place for you and your church family to enjoy together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And more you'll be able with one voice to cry out like the Apostle John, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God." And it's a place, and I'm sure you'll agree, of great privilege that is not to be presumed upon. And I'm sure you'll agree with this as well. It's a place we desire the lost to enter into through faith in Jesus Christ, so that both they and their children can join us in this place. We must remember that we heard in the beginning comments this same message. We must remember that we were once as lost as the lost, dead in trespasses and sins, without any hope in the world. And thus, through us, God's adopted children, Jesus beckons them, "Come, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's the kind of place we're at right now. That's a wonderful, wonderful place. It's a place of comfort, isn't it? Even if the floods are beginning to overwhelm us, and they do, it's always a place of comfort for us. We have the security of knowing to whom we belong. That's the comfort we have as God's adopted children. If you're growing in the comfort of God's love for Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, then you are growing, you have an opportunity then to grow in holiness. Otherwise, you are in fear. Oh, how important this message is to understand the comfort of our adoption by God. Because you see, you can't grow in holiness if you're living in fear. Fear stifles. Recently, Michael Ketterer was on America's Got Talent, and he sang the song, "You Don't Know What It's Like." Well, some of you older folks may remember that song. Before he sang, Michael shared that he and his wife had 6 adopted children who had come out of foster care. And he made the comment, the good comment, I thought, probably from a secular point of view, but a good comment. He made the comment that when you are just surviving as a child, you can't dream and blossom. In other words, if you're living in fear, you can't blossom and dream. Because God has adopted us as His children, we, more than anyone else in the entire world, can now blossom in sanctification and holiness. We can blossom in love and obedience because we don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear like we once did. Theologians and Christians alike discuss what is called the order of salvation. One of the most important aspects to get right about the order of salvation is that regeneration always precedes faith. Well, the order is important for many other reasons too, though. And one of them relates to our comfort as God's adopted children. Part of the order unfolds like this. This will sound familiar, probably. Justification, adoption, sanctification. And we can see, I believe, as we go through this, how key it is to know how these three doctrines relate to one another and why they're stacked on top of each other. Justification is an act of God's grace that has to do with our legal standing of righteousness before God. And praise God, it's received through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's foundational. However, we can also say that as an act of God's grace through faith in Christ, we have legally been adopted by God. And so justification and adoption relate in that legal way. But our adoption also relates to our sanctification. Our adoption brings us into the warmth and security and blessing and comfort and safety of God's family, where we can now grow. We can know that our sins are forgiven. Amen. But we are actually the children of God. That takes us to the peak, the very peak of the mountain. And because our adoption is like that, it slides right into the sanctification process. Because now we are safe. We're secure. We've been brought out of our danger. And we've been brought into the blessed eternal light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear is stifling. Just absolutely stifling for an adult or a child. It's only as Christians grow in their Father's love for them that they begin to grow in greater obedience to their Heavenly Father. We have all got this problem called sin, don't we? But we need not fear, because God's love for us, His commitment toward us in Jesus Christ, is greater than all our sin. And why wouldn't it be? We're His children. Why wouldn't it be greater? What father would give up on their children? That's our comfort. As we think about the Heavenly Father, who certainly will never give up on His children, that's our comfort as God's adopted sons. That's why Paul says in verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." God doesn't want us to fall back into fear again. I think that's a message that we should take home with us. When our children were little, Laurie and I would occasionally ask them, "Why do you think we love you?" And we would take turns saying, "Well, do you think we love you because you're smart?" "No, we don't love you because you're smart." "Is it because you can run fast?" "No, that's not why we love you." "Do you think it's because you are good and obey?" "No, That's not why we love you. We don't love you because you're good and obey. Even if you wind up in jail, even if you do make all the wrong choices and you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl, you're a bad man or a bad woman later on, we will still love you because you are our child. And nothing can ever change that. Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit of adoption in verse 15. You'll see that. And that language might be a little bit confusing because the Holy Spirit isn't the one who adopts us. God the Father is. But what the apostle is referring to is the marvelous idea that the indwelling Holy Spirit, little by little, more and more works family love and assurance into our hearts. We don't have to go back to fear because we have the Spirit of adoption dwelling within us, working within us that family assurance and love into our hearts. One of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit within us is to more and more awaken us to the truth and reality of our heavenly adoption so that we eventually will break forth in song with the Apostle John. Can you believe that we are the sons of God? Can you believe it? Very similar to our earthly children coming to an understanding of our love for them, God's children grow their whole lives into greater and greater awareness of the Heavenly Father's love for them. Why is this growing awareness so important? Why is it so vital? It's important because we are still disobedient at times. That's why. That's a sad thing, but it's a true thing, is it not? That's why this growing awareness is so important, because Satan comes along and he accuses us. I think he's just ticked off because we're not in his family anymore. And he does everything he can to cast seeds of doubt into our hearts. That's the context of Romans 8. It's assurance in the midst of conflict. It's assurance in the midst of suffering. Verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? There's going to be charges brought against us. They just won't stick. Oh, there will be charges brought against us. Verse 34, who is to condemn? You know who's going to try to make us feel like we're not the children of God. It ultimately won't work because we are God's adopted children. And that's why our passage this morning is so vital to our understanding, because Paul says it's when we are in the heat of the battle with sin and Satan that we cry out, Abba, Father. That's when we do it. I've got a confession to make. I have a hard time doing that. I'm still learning to do it. In the very midst of that battle, that's when we cry out, Abba, Father. Most in our broader evangelical culture like to think of using this affectionate term for father, very similar to daddy, when everything is going well. Oh, Abba, Father, everything's going great. That's not wrong. But it's not the context here. In fact, the only time we see this cry explicitly lived out in real life is in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was sweating drops of blood, crying out, Abba, Father. That's the only time. That's because Jesus knew what was in store for him at the cross, didn't he? Bearing our sin, Jesus was separated from his Father so that you and I would never have to be separated from him. And I'll be honest, it's very difficult in my growing process when I'm in the heat of the battle not to complain, not to, respond in various ways that are not pleasing to God. They're not scriptural. But we can learn, as Jesus has taught us, that in the midst of our battle with sin, to cry out, Abba, Father, I need your help. I need your help. But Paul says the blessings don't stop there. He tells us that our assurance, we have assurance too, as God's adopted sons. He's told us about our place as sons and the comfort and security we have as sons, seen in the order of salvation, and then in the ministry of the Spirit of adoption dwelling within us. Now Paul tells us about our assurance as sons. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, what's Paul talking about? He's talking about our response to suffering and trials, and in the midst of them, crying out, Abba, Father. That's what he's talking about. That's when the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. At that very moment, our adoption is evidenced in that cry. And in that very cry, He bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. It's like there are two witnesses that speak in our defense as we battle with sin and the accusations of Satan. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that has been redeemed. Most likely, Paul had Roman adoption in mind. Roman adoption was a public event, and there had to be more than one witness just in case there was a problem later on with inheritance. So do you see the beauty in this? When Satan rises to accuse you and tempts you to believe that you can't, you could never in a million years be a child of God because you aren't worthy. Well, first of all, you can tell him, no, I'm not. Jesus Christ is. But you can also say, or depend upon a strong witness showing up as your advocate. It's the Holy Spirit. And He confirms with your spirit that you can say, nope, I believe that Jesus is Lord and that He was raised from the dead. He is my Savior. No, I am a child of God and I can never be removed from God's family and God's love. Abba, Father, help me. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of adoption within you, to assure you. Paul goes on to say in verse 17, and if children, then heirs. One last point, great privilege as adopted sons. Our place as sons, our comfort as sons, our assurance as sons, as the Holy Spirit bears witness with ours. These are all great blessings of adoption. Paul says, hold on, there's one more. Our great privilege as sons. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we also might be glorified with Him. Well, there's no problem, young or old. Covenant children, perk up. This is great news. There's no problem with our eternal inheritance. We are beloved by God the Father, because Jesus is God's beloved Son, and we are in Him through faith. We are adopted by the Father. The Father loves us because we are in the Son. So there are just a multitude of eternal blessings that are ours in Christ. See, we're joint heirs with Christ. His eternal inheritance is ours. And it can't get any better than that. But verse 17 also adds this, provided we suffer with Him in order that we might be glorified with Him. After all that we've heard Paul teach and heard the Spirit of God say to us in this message on adoption, this cannot mean that we have to suffer with Christ in order to earn His fatherly love. It can't mean that. Our Heavenly Father works in such a way so as to mortify our sin in our lives and to cultivate holiness. What this means is that suffering is part of our growth process as the children of God. And we are privileged to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Hebrews teaches us in chapter 2, verse 10, that we follow the same pattern of suffering as our Savior. Sinclair Ferguson says, suffering leads to glory, trials lead to victory, hardships are the pathway to maturity. So children, it's not going to be all that easy growing up within the context of your own home under the authority of your parents. But Paul is saying, brothers and sisters in Christ of all ages, it's not going to be easy. I have called you to suffer. Calvin said the same thing. He said, God has planned the cross to be the way to victory, death, the way of life. We're privileged now, but we don't always feel it. But in the midst of our trials, we can learn to say together and pray for one another as a church family and as a larger church family, pray for one another, that we can learn to cry out, Abba, Father, in the midst of our battle with sin and with Satan as we go through trials. Well, my question for you is this. Are you resting in the blessings of God's adoption for you? Throughout your trials, throughout your hardships, are you learning to rest in the blessings of God's adoption for you? How will God's adoption of you through Jesus Christ impact your commitment and love for God's Word? How will this impact your growth in holiness? You've been brought to a safe place, brothers and sisters. You've been brought out of the worst that man can't even imagine in a million years. And you've been brought undeservedly into a safe place through Jesus Christ. How will this impact your family at home? How will it impact your church family? Can you say together, I am growing up in my Father's love. His love is my home. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have so blessed us with a word of grace that it's hard to take in. It's hard to imagine. We have it now, but we will have it in full later. And all those blessings will come to an amazing reality. And we just pray that you would hold us and keep us as individuals, as families, and as a church. As we look forward to your coming, Lord, we thank you for your table. We pray that as we come to it, that you might bless our participation in it with your very presence. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.